This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Welcome to The Garden Show. I am Dean Holland here in studio.
Yes, indeed.
With Charlie Dobbin.
Good morning.
Yes, the garden of the goddess of the Christmas garden.
Yeah, as if we have Christmas gardens.
Yeah.
Except for those people that saved their poinsettias from last year.
Yes, in fact.
Are the amaryllis growers amongst us.
Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. And happy Hanukkah coming up, right?
Coming up.
Your family celebrates both.
We do. We do. So we get to do, well, I'm taking my daughter home with me this afternoon from Toronto to the homestead in the county. And I think she's on Lutka duty tomorrow night. She's
nice.
Her and Elliot will do it together. So they got 10 pounds of tomatoes and they're going to grate them all up and make little potato pancakes.
Oh,
they're so good.
I could do that. We make a potato pancake. We love them as well. Maybe that is what we have to do this weekend.
You could. Add that into all the other things you've got on the go. You're a busy guy.
I have a question. We think of poinsettias as a Christmas flower. We think of amaryllis as a Christmas flower here. Is there a Hanukkah flower? Is there a flower that you would typically have or give for
That's
Hanukkah?
A good question. Over the years, I've been to many Hanukkah family parties. Yeah. It's not a poinsettia, trust me.
No, I'm sure it's not. No.
And basically what I do is I avoid red and green because the colors of Hanukkah are blue and silver and gold. So, but cyclamen are always a nice one. A cyclamen is blooming now.
Okay.
You'll find them in grocery stores, garden centers. They are easy to care for. Many of them are fragrant, which is sweet. And they're an excellent all-purpose. Or azalea, same thing. They're all sort of happening now.
Yeah, I like azaleas. I'd forgotten about those.
Yeah,
they're not great.
Fragrant, but boy, they give a lot back.
Yeah,
they're
very
really
nice.
Showy.
Okay, we have a little bit to chat about. You have some announcements, but I want to give out the number first. Because we would love to hear from you if you have any gardening questions. And at this time of year, a lot of those questions are indoor gardening questions, which is just fine by us. 416-360-0740. That is the Toronto number. And if you live anywhere outside Toronto in the province of Ontario, here is a toll-free number you can jot down. 1-866-740-4740. And you need to let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, because we will give you your garden wings. And I have special garden wings this week. I have the
Santa's here.
I have the ho-ho-ho garden wings to give you, And we want you to call often, call early, and please, the best gift that you can give us is one question per call. There you go.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So just a quick thought here. I received an email from the Toronto Master Gardeners.
Okay.
So many of you have heard of the Master Gardening Program, and it is it's international. It's all over the world. It's different groups come together to create the Master Gardener groups. It is a they're really well-educated. Master gardeners are hobby gardeners who take it to the next level and take seriously in terms of the education required. So the group in Toronto is having a virtual event, and it is just suggested here as a last-minute gift for a green thumb person in your life because it's virtual, and it's what they call a technical update. So in order to maintain your Master Gardener status, you have to continually update yourself and educate yourself.
Right.
You also have to do a certain number of volunteer hours every year.
Oh, okay.
So it's a pretty neat program. I am an honorary Master Gardener. I never did all the work that so many of you have to get your actual...
I did other work. I was going to say, I think you did the work a little earlier.
I spread my work out a little differently.
Yeah.
But still, it's a pretty cool program. So Saturday, January 14th, so whenever that is, 3-4 weeks from now, 10 until 2:30, so, 10 after the radio show, 10 until 2:30, the title is Ecological Gardening Part 2, or Digging Deeper into Our Changing Relationship with the Garden. Like I said, virtual event, $30 a person. If you are a Master Gardener, you get your education update credits. If you're not a Master Gardener and you're thinking about learning more, it's a great opportunity to register. Just go to www.torontomastergardeners.com. gardeners.ca.
Right, and it has to have an S on the end. Gardeners.ca. Okay, we have to take a pause. We have to hear some important messages. The lines are open. Please give us a call. We will be right back with much more right here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back with The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. I am Dean Holland. And before we went to where, we were talking about little updates at my house, me trying to be a, well, I don't know, not a master gardener, but an experimental gardener, you know, trying to keep the amaryllis bulb since last year, which I'm not convinced I did the entire job terribly well.
But it was an interesting amaryllis you had. It wasn't in a pot with soil.
No.
It was in gravel.
It was in gravel, which I think in hindsight I should have taken it out of the gravel.
That's what I told you to do. You just didn't pay attention.
I didn't pay. Oh, here it is. There's the hand slap. Got it right there. I did not put it in dirt. And so my question is, depending on the condition of it, do I still have a chance? Where put it
still in that gravel?
I think so, yeah.
What does it feel like?
Yeah, I'd have to go and feel it. So if it's mushy, it's done.
It's done.
It's done. If it's still got some...
If firm.
Firm.
Then is there any water? Have you watered it through?
I don't know. My wife is usually on watering duty.
So all right.
I'm going to blame
Gail. That's the bar. I'm not saying anything negative about Gail. She sent a nice little box of Christmas cookies.
She did.
So, yeah, nothing anti-Gail on the radio today. No, yeah. We love her very much. Well, you'll report back next week.
Yeah.
You'll do your go be the little detective and report back the exact status of this poor little amaryllis bulb.
Will. My other question is regarding the amaryllis that I bought this year, which is doing really, really well.
Cool.
I think you said I don't have to give it a lot of water right now.
Well, you don't. Yeah, you do have to water it when it's when it's dry.
Right.
The soil.
But not crazy amount of water.
Oh, never. No. Bulbs never want. Water thoroughly, but water rarely.
Okay.
Right? Not a teaspoon a day.
No.
Do a half a cup every 10 days.
Okay.
Right? So make it worth the plant's while when you're watering so that, you know, it's water. Because, of course, you're in a pot with drainage holes. So the water will drain out the drainage holes into the saucer.
Yep.
And you'll not let it sit in water. You'll pour it out of the saucer and put it back in its nice sunny location. And don't water it again until it's dry or very light. You can feel the weight of the pot.
And did you say that once it starts blooming, it needs more water?
Or not necessarily. I mean, it's going to use more water because it'll have all that surface area to lose moisture, particularly once leaves start growing too, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Just before we go to the phones, let's give out the number one more time in Toronto, 416-360-0740 or toll-free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Okay, let's go to Burlington. We have Joan on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Joan.
Good morning. My question is about my comment, rather, is about amaryllis. I was given one about a month ago, and my niece said it has two buds on it. I watched them grow. Now, those two buds have come up to be three stalks. And each stalk has got four flowers on them. There's only one leaf on it. Is this usual?
Yeah. Yeah, the flowers come first. So what you're seeing, the tall flower stalks, and then, of course, the flowers will emerge from the top of the stalks, is very normal, and leaves will come after.
But I've never seen one with so many stalks on it.
You know what? It comes down to the quality of the bulb. So the bigger the bulb, the more flowers and the bigger flowers. So that's why, you get what you pay for. So you can get a cheap little small bulb somewhere and get one little scrawny flower stalk, or you get a big fat juicy bulb. Once that starts growing, you get two, sometimes three flower stalks.
These are absolutely pure white and absolutely beautiful.
Great. Good. Enjoy.
Oh, I am. In fact, they started to fall over, so I had to support them.
I was going to say, yeah. So the little branches or stakes from outside, cut some little, dogwood or something that's in the neighborhood, use those to stake it, provide a nice little corral around the plant, and turn the pot.
I turn it regularly, yeah.
Every day, turn it 180 degrees.
Just unusual. Absolutely beautiful.
I think I'm a little jealous there, Joan. I got to tell you.
I know. And they have a very delicate smell.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
What color?
They're white, pure white.
Mm.
Oh, They sound just beautiful. Yeah. It is just one of those great flowers this time of year, isn't it?
And it's everybody can grow them. That's the best thing. I mean, you need a little bit of light. You can't do it in a basement apartment very well. Or you could.
They stand about 20 inches tall from the pot, from the soil to the top of the flowers.
Yeah, put them in the brightest spot that you've got, and they will stay a little shorter because you don't want them too tall. Otherwise, they fall over.
Yeah, they're falling over.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. And you have a wonderful holiday season. And thanks for the call, Joan.
Have a great Christmas, a great holiday season.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Joan.
Okay, bye-bye now. Yeah.
Last week, we had a call from Elizabeth, and she was calling from Toronto, and she has potatoes that are sprouting in her basement.
Right.
And she wondered.
Right, because she didn't know what to do, and you were saying
I said, you know, there's always
the food bank.
Food bank's an option, right? That was one of my suggestions. Yeah. But I love it when our listeners are listening and they pay attention.
As opposed to your co-hosts who don't listen and leave their amaryllis balm and gravel.
Did I say that? Yeah. So tips and techniques from listeners is always a joy. So here we have an email from Dorothy writing in from Coil Organic Farm. And she was listening last week and heard about the excess potatoes, like the food bank idea. But she had a couple other additional suggestions. So hopefully Elizabeth is listening this week again and can maybe use some of these. Dorothy's got some Amish friends, and her Amish friends tell her that removing those sprouts, those little white sprouts, will help a lot to lengthen storage time. So just with your thumb, you bust those off. You could also box them. So when you're boxing them, you separate layers of potatoes in a corner of the garage, tucked into straw or lots of leaves. So you don't want the potatoes touching each other, but you do want that little bit of insulation around them. And you just go like into cardboard boxes with newspaper if you want. Alternatively, earlier in the season, Dorothy says she reburied her potatoes. After harvesting them, she reburied them. So she would have harvested them, let them dry out a bit so that they'd have hardened off a bit. Then, but this is amazing, she dug a deep pit, 3 to 4 feet deep. We're talking a serious pit here. She put the potatoes in the pit in a single layer in trays, and she separated all those trays out with soil and newspaper and leaves and left about a foot of soil on top. Then, of course, added more leaves on top of that, a bale of straw, whatever. So there they are. They're in their winter storage location. Those potatoes are underground. Nobody's getting at them until the ground starts to thaw in the spring. And then there you are in the spring.
Wow.
You go out there and you dig up your potatoes from last season's harvest.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's great. Eh?
Dad, what are you doing? I got to go to the garden. We're having French fries tonight.
Well, that's what the root cellar idea was, right? I always remember my mom telling me where she was born and raised in Kenora.
Yeah.
The house they had a basement that was all sand.
Yes.
Everything went into the sand. So the rutabagas, the onions, the beets, the potatoes, the carrots, under the sand. So her mom would say to my mom, we're having French fries. So I told my mom, I would have to go down and dig up the potatoes and bring them upstairs, or the carrots or onions or whatever it was.
Things most of us just have no clue about.
Well, look at my basement. It'd be pretty hard-pressed to dig anything in there. It's like concrete
everywhere.
Get a
jackhammer. What are you doing?
But what it's funny. Yeah. What a smart idea that we gave up for recreation rooms, pool tables, and big screen TVs.
Amazing. Okay,
truly amazing.
Got to go to break. We have some important messaging to hear, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes. We are back with The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
I hope some
Dean
people
Holland.
Are out there because they're certainly not calling.
No, they are not calling this morning.
Feeling
maybe
a
they're
bit
doing
sad
well,
here.
You know, maybe they're doing their Christmas
baking.
Shopping or, you know, and in all fairness, because Hanukkah starts on Sunday, right? I think it's Sunday. Yeah, is it tomorrow? The 18th?
Yeah, maybe.
I believe it's, I think it's tomorrow.
I think you're right. I think
we have
some friends. It is tomorrow night. That's why we're having latkes tomorrow
night. Right, sunset. And we have friends who are Jewish, some close friends. And so I think, I can only imagine that, like, for them, this is the night before, so they're doing probably lots of prep.
Yeah, chicken soup, gefilte fish. All the yummy stuff, actually. And latkes are a lot of work.
Matzo balls this time of year
balls for Passover.
Passover.
Yeah, because there's no leavened bread at Passover. So matzo is the flour of choice, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up with my upbringing was sort of Polish, Czech, Catholic, and so they also have their customs
as far as, you know,
Christmas Eve, everyone. When my grandmother was alive, never any, no meat. It's
right.
You know, fish, a lot of, you know, it's herring on
I
the
know.
Table.
I was talking to an Italian friend.
And stuff like
Same
that.
Thing.
So, yeah.
Christmas Eve,
borscht,
always fish.
Red borscht.
No meat.
No meat. No, and so that I grew up with that as well. But yeah, we make a version of a I guess, a latke, because I think most ethnicities have a version of a potato pancake.
Yeah, well,
right,
pierogies, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
well, or
a shredded potato sort of thing.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because what a rosti is another one.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah,
I think very similar. Yeah, and my when I make them, my kids love them.
Of course,
love
they're
them.
The best.
So I will not get any arguments if we make that tomorrow night for dinner. No arguments whatsoever.
There's a lot of different latke recipes out there, but
sure.
I'll tell you, it's all about grating.
Okay.
Hand grating.
Yep, that's I do
in
that.
Our family. There's none of this like putting it in the blender.
I do it hand grated.
Yeah, because otherwise it turns to mush. You don't want mush. And then you have to squeeze out all the liquid.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes,
like
I
you drink cheesecloth.
I do it pretty.
Yeah.
I don't do it with cheesecloth, but I do squeeze it out as best I can. But cheesecloth would be much more effective.
Yeah, and then it's onions and a little flour. And I don't make them. I just watch. But,
okay.
It's still fine.
I've got an email here, and this is about Amanda Villa. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's from Ingrid. She says, hi, guys. Love your show. Always get great advice. Have two mandevillas grew vigorously and flowered all summer on balcony. It's inside now. No flowers, but growing long vines.
Uh-huh.
Can I pinch off? Or by doing that, am I cutting off bud stems? Help.
Okay, so at this time of year, we're getting towards the shortest day of the year. So we're not seeing a lot of flowering growth on plants like mandevilla. Some plants like amaryllis and Christmas cactus, they're good with these low light levels. They're just, that's part of their physiology. But mandevillas are typically slowing down, waiting for spring, and then they'll burst forth with flowers and more growth. So if you're getting long green vines or even just long vines with no leaves on them, pinch them back. Don't hesitate to pinch them back. As a matter of fact, I do a really hard pinching back come February. For now, just keep them under control. Make sure you've got some green leaves on the plants. Lots of sun. That will keep them alive. And because with no green leaves, they will die. And water only as necessary. So really let them dry down between waterings.
Okay. And you say in February. Is that because there's just more light?
That's
per
right.
Day?
Okay. As soon as the light level starts to expand. And even these are plants inside our homes. Even if they're in a basement where there's no natural light, they know. They're very smart.
Yeah.
They will start to really grow and start to perk along as the days get longer.
Gotcha.
So,
somebody that I know posted something on either Facebook or Instagram or one of those things. They said, hey, you know, in X amount of days, the days are going to start getting longer.
Exactly.
And all these people reacted to it.
Oh, I know. That's why. It's always sad on sort of June 21st because you know the days are getting shorter from that point. But it's not long now. I don't know which day I should look up.
I think it's 21st.
It's the 20th, 21st.
21st, 22nd, usually around there.
And then it's like, yes, spring is coming.
Yeah, it is still.
And we see it, too.
It is still autumn. It is hard to believe, but it is still autumn out there.
True,
you got it. Okay, so, somebody who is not doing any Christmas shopping or,
or
Hanukkah latke making is Joan in Burlington, because we've got her back in the line. And she is just a doll because she only had one question per call. And here she is again. Welcome back to the Garden Show, Joan.
Yes, I'm very cognizant of one call.
That's it's great.
Not like
love
you
it.
When you had two questions, you have called.
That's right.
My bromeliad, I spoke to you a while ago, but my bromeliad, Charlie.
Yes.
And you said how it is dying off. The main flower is dying off. And there are some young plants at the bottom of that. Now, what do I do? Do I take off all the leaves or what?
Okay, so what I do with my bromeliads is I basically let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
The flower will slowly but surely, as you've noticed, it starts to get crispy and goes from a bright red to a pink to a brown. At some point when it's really quite unattractive, I get out some sharp shears and I just remove that whole flower stem.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly but surely that main plant will die down, but I don't force it. I let it happen. It can take like a year and a half for that main mother plant to die. While it's doing its dying, daughters or progeny are starting to grow off of the mother. So all kinds of little green sprouts are going to start coming off of the mother plant, but let the mother plant just die down slowly. Every month or so I go in there with a pair of scissors, take out anything that's really unsightly. When you're watering, remember it's room temperature water, and you carefully either spritz it or pour it into the cups or the tubular growth that is coming up off the mother plant. So all those little daughter plants are little tubes coming up, and your water goes goes in there. The soil can remain on the dry side as long as there's moisture inside the center of each of those little baby plants. And yeah, maybe in the spring when you're looking for something kind of fun to do, you can pull the whole thing out of the pot, lay it all out on a newspaper, get out a sharp scissors or more better, a sharp knife, and you'll sever all those babies off of the mother, compost the mother, and keep the babies and repot them all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty fun, and it's a long process, so just let it unfold.
It's a long process, and it's very informative.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks again, Joan.
Bromeliads. That's one of my all-time favorite plants. I have several on the go.
Really? And what?
They're like from the pineapple family.
Okay.
Yes. What we like about them is that the flowers last a really long time.
Oh, okay. That was my question. I was going to ask you what you like. Because there's always something we like about a flower, either the fragrance or just the look of it. But so their blooms last a long time.
Yeah, I'll show you. I'll just quickly Google this, show you.
Oh, yes.
See that? You've seen these
yep,
before.
Yeah, I've had one.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, are they the ones that you kind
of... Past tense?
Yes. Are they the ones that you kind of water in the middle? They
correct.
Have like a, they look like they're... Yeah. It's like a glass.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a cup.
Yeah.
Into the cup.
I remember I told you about my bromeliad story. We were moving.
Oh,
and I had all
right.
the plants in the back.
Oh,
and then they turned a corner and it tipped over and dumped it all in my lap.
But it
I went,
all the water.
Yeah. All the water.
But that wouldn't have killed it.
No. It was just funny because it just shocked me.
Yeah, I bet.
It just literally tipped and it was like somebody threw a glass of water
in your lap.
In my lap.
While you're driving.
Yeah. Luckily, I was in the back seat, so I was not driving.
You were supposed to be holding that plant.
Yes, I should have been holding it, but I was, again, not listening.
Looking out the window. Oh, we're moving. This is
the
new neighborhood.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Diane, who is calling from Mississauga. Welcome to the Garden Show, Diane.
Hi. Merry Christmas.
Hey there. Merry Christmas to you.
Whatever you're celebrating.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Oh, what do you got for Charlie?
I have a question about a hybrid begonia that I have as a houseplant I bought a number of years ago. And it's, you know, it tends to grow kind of tall with these kind of spiny stems, and you get those beautiful leaves coming off of it. But what's happening now is it's so tall, all I have is this long spiny stem and a long leaf at the end of it, right? So I'm wondering if there's a way that you can trim it down to sort of force it to get more bushy and pretty again?
There is. What does the leaf look like?
The leaf is like it's like the hand one. You know, you've got six sort of spikes coming off of there with the little speckled dots on it.
Right. So, but yeah, interesting you would say six. Okay, so, all right, so what I would do, if it was my plant, and it was really tall, and it had the, they're beautiful leaves, and does yours flower on occasion?
Never. I've never seen a flower on it.
Huh. And you've had it for a number of years?
Yeah, it's probably 4 years old now.
And how tall is it?
About a foot and a half.
And is it still in that original pot?
Yes, it is.
And is that a little 4-inch pot or a 6-inch pot?
No, it was one of those proven winter plants, you know? So it was a fairly large pot.
Huh. Okay, so begonias, the cool thing about begonias, I know I'm just laughing because Dean is looking at me like, is that a saver? Like, is that worth saving?
I'm doing the toss it out.
Toss it. Compost. No, because you pay a lot of money for proven winners plants. And they do tend to be very nice plants.
Yeah, but when I got it, it was beautiful. I mean, it was so nice and bushy and it had lots of little stems coming up and, you know, but now it's kind of...
And when you got it, of course, it was in the spring. And did you have it outside that first summer?
I've never put it outside.
Oh, okay.
It's always been a houseplant for me.
Is it in any direct or bright sunlight at all?
No.
Okay, it needs to be. If you want to have any success with that plant, and flowers particularly, that's what's going on, is that it's just not getting enough light.
So we have to take it out of the bedroom closet and put it out by the window.
And it doesn't need to be in a south window, because begonias are nice that way. Eastern, northern, any bright but indirect light is perfect. Right in a north window or east window would be perfect. But if you've only got a south or west window, then keep the plant back 5 or 6 feet away from the window. So it's a bright spot. Slow down. Like at this time of year, particularly, let it really dry out between waterings.
I do that.
Yeah, and you're going to want to cut it down at some point. So the cutting it down is going to force a bunch of side branches and side growth.
Okay, so you can cut that. I wasn't sure whether you could cut it. That's why I didn't really touch it. And now, Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the scary thing about cutting something down when there's only a little leaf up on the top and there's no leaves down on the stem is like, oh, that might kill it. And it's true, it might. So when you're doing that cutting down thing, ensure that, I imagine some of that stem is green. Some
okay.
of the very bottom might be a little bit on the brown side, a little bit woody.
Yeah, it is kind of on one of the stems, because one of the stems is quite long.
Right.
The other one is a little shorter, so it might work with the other one, not the big one. I think the big one, like you say, is a goner.
Well, yeah, or you might find it's quite, kind of amazing, because so often the roots are very alive. There's lots of energy in the roots. There's just nothing happening above ground. And doing a really hard pruning forces the plant to grow. Because you've already had this for 3 or 4 years, I wouldn't rush into my suggestion here. I'd wait to that magical February date when days are getting longer, plants are starting to wake up and get all jazzed up about spring. Go in there, just cut the whole thing down. Make sure you do leave a little bit of green stem, or if you've any green leaves that can be left. Suddenly you'll see in about 5 or 6 or 7 days after that cutting, and you've got lots of light on the plant, all of a sudden, boom, you can see a bunch of leaf buds. And hopefully by April or May, you'll have lots of flower buds too.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's salvageable. It's just when they're not very pretty like that, we kind of shove them in a corner and, like, you know, Dean was indicating, we just stop caring for them because they're not giving us a lot back, right? But I think you can rejuvenate it just for now, a little more light, not too much water, and then prepare for a big pruning job in a month or two.
Should I transplant it, do you think?
If you want to transplant it just at the same time as when you're doing that pruning, I wouldn't do it now.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Okay.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You.
Have a great day.
Yeah,
thanks
you
for
too.
Calling.
And happy holidays to you.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I got to say about the begonia, pretty leaves. Those are beautiful. Even if you don't get flowers, beautiful, beautiful
That's
leaves.
That's one of the things we love about begonias. There's a lot of different kinds of begonias out there with all different kinds of leaves.
Right.
And they can be really lovely. And it's just a matter of, it's humid. A little bit of humidity goes a long ways, but certainly some bright light goes a long ways. And, spotted leaves, wrinkled leaves. Leaves, curly leaves, different colors, top and bottom leaves, all they're very beautiful foliage, many of them.
I'm just giving everybody stone trays this year for Christmas.
Yeah,
I'm buying bacon sheets and rocks and giving there you go.
That's a cheap one. I was going to say, you could just go and get little misters for everybody.
Yeah, no, I love that idea of the idea of the little pebble tray with the water in there. That's a great idea.
It does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I have a rabbit's foot fern at home. I don't know if you know what that looks like. It's called that because the roots look like rabbit's feet. They're all furry and they come over the edges of the pots. They're not a happy plant in Ontario inside, right, with all the, the furnaces, et cetera. So I put a pebble tray beneath my rabbit's foot fern, it is so happy.
Really?
It went from like 2 leaves to 20 leaves.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Just like literally in a month.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So that this with a fern, like that kind of a humidity-loving plant, it's worked really, really well.
See, the begonias, if they don't bloom, then they're begonias. They're out the door. They're gone. Out the door.
That's
the begonia.
Begonia. Oh, my gosh. The bun master lives.
Okay, we have to go. We have to take just a quick break. Here's some messages. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back with The Garden Show here in Zoomerplex today. We are both here in Zoomerplex.
And
we're both doing a similar thing because I, too, am taking a child, one of my children, back to Collingwood today.
Okay.
He's at York. Yeah, he's a second-year York University. He's actually got an exam at 2.
And today?
Today at 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I hate that. So, exams on the weekend.
Yeah. So he's got an exam today, and then I'm going to be taking him home after that. So I'm going to tootle around here. I've got some
Christmas
duties
shopping
and things to do. Yeah.
Saturday in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So his exam starts at 2 or ends?
Starts at 2, yeah.
Yeah,
he'll
so
probably be finished by about 4, I think.
4.
So.
You're going home in the dark.
Yeah.
What like parents will do.
Well, but it was an opportunity to be here with you. And truthfully, we often do the show, as we know, from our home studios, but it's nice to
It's always
get
nice
down
to
here.
Do it in person.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
For everybody.
You know what is fun, too? It's looking over to my left and going, oh, look at all the callers. Okay, let's go to Betty in Canfield. Welcome to The Garden Show, Betty.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm good. I have a problem. I bought a Diplodenia, not realizing it's just an annual.
Uh-huh.
I wondered.
Oh. Did we lose her?
Are you there, Betty?
Yeah, kind of. Quiet.
Okay.
No, so we're listening. So you didn't know it was an, but you brought it in, obviously.
Oh, gosh, I never put it out. I brought it in. I didn't get it until, I think, September. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's just an annual. So it's in a south window, and it's still okay, but it's looking really yucky.
Yeah. Right. So stop watering it, for starters. Because you remember, it's a tropical plant. Right? How did it look when you first brought it home?
Lovely. Oh, just lovely. Okay. That's why I thought it was more than an annual.
Right.
Ew.
Well, yeah. If you lived in Florida, it wouldn't be an annual, right? I mean, it's just where you live that makes it an annual. You're right. It will not withstand frost or below zero temperatures. So make sure it's in the sunniest window you've got.
It is.
So southern or western, right in the window, like right, you know, not touching the glass, but right in the window. Remember to turn it every couple of days so that you're giving that, sharing that light on that plant. If it's really scraggly and it's lost a bunch of leaves, don't hesitate to do a little tip removal. Take the tips off.
Right.
That'll force out some growth. I wouldn't go crazy with watering. Feel the soil between waterings. Water thoroughly, but rarely. And water with room temperature water. And for many of us with some of these struggling tropicals in our homes, very soon, even maybe January, we'll mix up some fertilizer and we'll start to do some regular fertilizing when we're watering.
Okay.
And that you'll find that'll make all the difference in the world, too. I just did this past week. I'm a very bad plant parent in a lot of ways. I know Dean beats himself up, but I do lots of things that I don't listen to myself. And so I just mixed up a couple of pails of fertilizer this past week, and I dip my orchids, my ferns, I dip everything into the water, the bromeliads, all that gets dipped, drained, and then put back out. And they are just purring since I did that. But I do that once a year. Like, I don't do it often enough. So be prepared that you'll find that they will like it. And also just the clean leaves. It just really, plants do like the tension. They respond to you cleaning them up, looking after them. Remove dead stuff. Don't ever let dead leaves sit on the surface of the soil, that sort of thing.
Right. So what about a little bit of spray, no?
Just like a water spray?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This that's going to like, if you can raise that humidity. So bright light, high humidity, only water when dry.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, my dear. Have a good one.
You too. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
And let us know. I think you'll find if it was in good shape in September, you'll be able to get it through the winter.
Okay, I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Betty. That's a flower I have not heard of.
Diplodenia.
Oh, okay.
There it is there if you look
at it. Yeah, it kind of sort of in a roundabout way reminds me of a petunia, but not really. But there's something else.
It's a mandevilla.
Maybe that's what it is. Right. I'm looking at trying to figure out what.
Actually, a website says how to overwinter Diplodenia.
There you go.
GardenTabs.com. So, but you know, overwintering in Ohio is different from overwintering in Vancouver, which is different from Toronto or Canfield in the case of Betty.
I think one of the things, and I've learned, and I mean this very earnestly, one of the things I've learned from you in the last year since I've been on the show is truly that plants this time of year, they need time to rest.
Yeah.
They need that little, reprise. And so, don't be afraid.
Not all,
don't water. Don't be afraid not to water them.
Right.
Let them kind of have a little.
You'll never kill with underwatering the way you will with overwatering.
Okay.
That's the most common way of killing indoor plants is too much water.
Too much water.
Too much love.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we always say, if you think it's watering day, wait another day.
Oh, okay.
Right? At this time of year. Wait another day. In the case of a jade plant, wait another week.
Yes.
In the case of your cactus, wait another month. Don't rush into watering at this time of year with plants that just don't need it.
Okay. Number to call us, 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number, or toll free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We are going to Hagersville right now. We have Nancy on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Nancy.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Woo!
Thank you. Nice. Way to go.
Well, thank you guys for brightening up our Saturday mornings.
Aww. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is fun.
Yeah.
And we've listened for years to you.
Oh, well, good. And it's so much fun me sitting here on this side of the desk watching Charlie put on her, you know, her Sherlock Holmes gardening hat and kind of think, what is going on?
Yeah,
there?
I know. I always do it like I visualize.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What do you got for? Something real tricky?
Not real tricky, but I have a stephanotis that I've had for years. And I almost lost it one year.
Uh-huh.
When the finally, well, I was left with, I think, maybe one leaf that hadn't gone yellow.
Oh, my.
They all fell off. But I brought it back, and it's full of leaves now. But it has lost a couple of yellow ones, and I didn't know. It seems better now. I don't know whether if I watered it too much or not enough or...
Okay, well, it's very similar to the Diplodenia we were just talking about. So this is a tropical plant. It is a very beautiful, fragrant flower when it flowers.
I know, it's very strong.
Very.
It's that jasmine-y.
That's right. And, it's very commonly used in bridal bouquets because it's got that trailing white, like just pure, pure white flowers that are fragrant. And so for many women, they remember their wedding bouquets and they try to grow. There's a connection through that. It's not a really hard plant to grow, but lots and lots of sun is required. Only water when dry. Like, again, very similar to the Diplodenia. Turn it in the window so that you're getting that shared. It grows as a vine. I've just got one up on my computer screen here that Dean can see, and growing in a hoop shape.
They train it around the hoop.
That's right. So there's wire hoop. I had one like that. I had it for years and years and years. It flowered a couple of times over the years. Eventually, though, it got mealybug. And the mealybug obviously came in on another plant. So be careful. That's my biggest thing I can also say today is, you know, bring in those beautiful new poinsettias and amaryllis and fun Christmas plants, but make sure they're quarantined from your long-term plants, because there's nothing worse than losing a favorite old plant because suddenly it gets infested by an insect that it didn't have 10 years ago, but suddenly it gets. So mealybug, I was not able to control. I spent a number of months Q-tips and rubbing alcohol every day, searching and killing, but they just kept surviving and eventually out the door. It became a begonia or a begonia.
A begonia, yeah. Well, and that's because then it can affect other plants.
That's right.
So you want to get it out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But it is a lovely, lovely plant. So, see, like I said, same as the Diplodenia, lots of sun, only water when dry. Start fertilizing once the days get longer and spritz it. Admire it. Tell this plant how much you love it, and they will often respond.
Okay.
All right. Good luck with that.
I did get it to flower a couple of different times.
Yeah.
If you put it out in the summer when it's really humid.
Yeah. Loves it. Loves the humidity.
Like that, and then bring it back in, and it'll flower for you.
Yeah. And, expect to give it, if not a bigger pot, then at least some fresh soil. So sometimes we'll take a plant out of its existing pot with our fingers, take off some of that old tired potting mix, then wash, scrub the pot, put the plant back into the same clean pot with fresh potting mix. And that can be quite rejuvenating. And that's the kind of thing you would do in the summer when you're just taking it out when we're frost-free.
Can you, rather than, I thought at one time of cutting the roots, but said not to maybe not do that, can you spread them out so that they'll fit in the pot better?
Oh, for sure. Once you've got it out of the pot, you can also put it in a bigger pot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can trim roots, too. I've done that lots of times.
Not till February, though. Right?
Yeah. Try not. Don't do any of this at this time of year. Too stressful.
That was just because I have to prove to Charlie that I do pay attention.
He was listening.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for
very
the
much.
Call. Yeah.
Thank
thanks,
you.
Nancy.
Yeah. Boy, we're getting lots of good calls on flowering tropical plants.
Yeah.
Actually, every call so far has been on that
Absolutely.
Subject.
Absolutely. Okay. We have to take our last break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, and the race is on, Charlie.
Dean Holland.
Now, all the callers have waited to the last minute. Okay, let's see if we can do it. Hopefully, they're quick questions. Jacqueline in Port Dover, welcome to The Garden Show. What do you got for Charlie?
I left all my summer bulbs in the ground, like the gladiolus.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering, they've turned brown now. Do I cut them now or leave them till the spring?
Okay, if the gladiolas are outside in the ground, they are likely dead. They will not survive the winter. But okay. You're in Port Dover, and it hasn't been that cold.
No, this is our really second snowfall, and it's really not that bad.
So go outside after this call with a trowel or a shovel, and if the ground is not frozen, see if you can lift those glads, and then you're going to bring them inside and put them on, not inside to the hothouse yet, but to a garage or porch or something. Let them dry down a bit. You'll know whether they've survived or not once you can feel them. If they're mush, they're compost. If there's got some firmness, then sure, dry them on down, put them into the old nylon stockings and hang them in the basement for the winter.
Okay. Super.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
Merry Christmas.
And I was going to say, and after you've dug them up, throw your potatoes in and put them in for the. There you go. You can bury them back up.
All You're set. All over this. What about where does the amaryllis fit into?
Well, we're getting there. Thanks. Okay, let's go to Diana in Waterloo. You're so young, and I'm so old, Diana. There you are.
Good morning.
What do you got for Charlie?
Oh, that could be reversed.
I get the seniors discount on Thursdays now.
No, because you're lying.
Yeah, I do.
I have daylilies that I've grown for several years. We made different beds. What I'm experiencing is they do okay in the spring and the early summer, and then in August they start to die off, which I know is normal, but they die off. Yeah. I don't have any greenery. I don't have any reblooming. I use hen and chicken fertilizer.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm wondering, is it over-fertilized? Is it not fertilized?
No.
I do it about every 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh.
And it's all of them. I have several different varieties, and they're all doing the same thing.
Okay, so with the hen and chicken fertilizer, that's a pelletized fertilizer, right?
Correct.
I would only use that in the spring.
Okay.
As the plants are starting to grow. So before the leaves have really emerged, go out there and pretend you're feeding the chickens.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Chicken fertilizer. And then there's no, if it lands on the leaves, get out your hose. You just don't want the fertilizer sitting on foliage. But if you do it early enough, there's not a lot of foliage. There's a couple things coming to mind here. I think your daylilies, once they get overgrown, so they're happy plants, they're growing like stink, they really get crowded. And what happens by July and August when it gets dry and hot, the foliage drops, the whole bed looks pretty crappy because all we have now is a bunch of gnarly looking roots and yellow leaves.
Correct.
It is time to dig and separate and get some space between those daylily plants.
And I did that.
Yeah, I know, but you have to do that with the case of daylilies probably every 3 years, 2 years.
Yeah, but I did that.
Recently?
I did some last year, and I had the same result. Now, this fall, I did the same thing. I dug them all and separated them and threw out some because I don't have room for them.
Right, exactly.
Unfortunately. But yeah, I did that too. And they weren't compacted, the roots.
Okay.
And so, I didn't see any bugs.
Nobody eats a daylily, trust me. So it's usually good. So it could be dry. It was a very dry. Do you irrigate? Were you watering in August,
July?
Yeah,
we water quite a bit.
Okay.
Like every twice a week, maybe?
And variety. Remember, there are some varieties of daylily that what we call reblooming or everblooming. Stella Doro is one. There's a few out there. They will keep sprouting new leaves and sprouting new flowers. Most other daylilies go dormant as the summer progresses. And you know what? I'm at a racetrack. I have to go.
And I realize you're a first-time caller, Diana.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for calling.
There are your Christmas bells.
Diana,
okay?
Let me see if I can find out any more. Thanks for calling.
And thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Dean.
My pleasure. I'm standing out in the Christmassy way.
Salvation Army is
which is important, absolutely.
For sure. So donate, support. Have a safe trip home with your son.
I will.
And
you
thank
too,
you,
with
Carlos.
Your daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
And happy Hanukkah.
And happy, exactly. Christmaka at my house, and see you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.